It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on 97.7 ESPN. Matt Valcho and Ben Carlisle here in studio tonight. Jason wasn't able to make it in, but it's a little bit of a somber night. It's our second to last or first to last? It's first to last show of the season.
Yep, next week, January 31st, will be our final show for the season, and then we will follow up signing day with a special edition podcast to cover the recruiting class for Louisiana Tech.
Can't forget recruiting. That's a huge draw to Bleed Tech Blue. But tonight on the show, we will be recapping this week, looking at Tech basketball and recruiting, a lot of recruiting. Smack in the middle of the official visits, last weekend was the big one. Or no, 2 weekends ago was the big one. This past weekend, a little bit smaller, and next weekend, one more before National Signing Day finally hits.
Oh, yeah, here we are, 8 days out from signing day. Tech's at around 19 commitments, some early signees from a couple of junior colleges, but I think the coaches are looking to close out this class with a bang and see who they can land come signing day. It's definitely an exciting time, like you mentioned, with the basketball team coming off two big victories over Rice and North Texas. It's always important to hold serve on your home court, and that sets up a big week for the Duncan Dogs.
Got to bring that momentum to a couple huge games. UAB and Middle Tennessee, we'll look at that later in the show with Dave West at 7. Next segment at 6:15, Nick Kruger, a Texas recruiting analyst, will be here to talk some of Louisiana Tech's Texas commits, including Michael Sam, who was signed today from Trinity Valley Community College, and also a little bit Amik Robertson talk.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, with Michael Sam, he was a big signee for Tech. He was a guy, I think he was a soft verbal to UL Lafayette as of last weekend, or maybe the 9th, so 2 weekends ago. But Tech had him on campus this past weekend and picked up a commitment from him, and he signed today. So that was definitely a big pickup, a guy who has been in contact with Arizona. I believe he had an offer, and he had also been in contact with Oregon. He's a big corner, 6'1", 195. We both know these Tech coaches love those big corners that can play that physical corner against those big receivers that Conference USA sometimes has that are tough to defend. I just remember 2 years ago when Southern Miss had Michael Thomas. He was a big receiver that Tech really had trouble with. So, yeah, Michael Sam's a huge pickup, and I think he'll definitely contribute in the secondary.
No doubt about it. Also, we will take a look at a little bit of baseball crossover in the last segment. I mean, if you haven't heard the news, Jamar Smith is out there practicing with the baseball team.
He absolutely is. He actually was with the team last year as well. He went through spring practice or fall preseason practice with the baseball team as well. But he ended up redshirting under Greg Goff, and he's back out there again looking to earn a spot on the team as a outfielder. And I think we both know how talented he is, how athletic he is. He was actually a 24th round draft pick out of high school. So, yeah, that's something interesting to look at. But I think he is expected to be at spring practice for the football team and try to take the reins of the quarterback job for good.
You would hope so. But like I said, we'll start the show tonight looking back at Louisiana Tech basketball's two big wins against Rice and North Texas. The North Texas game wasn't very close, but against Rice, a 10-point win at home. I mean, it's huge heading into this next week.
Oh, yeah, and we talked about last week that Rice team was a team that could really score the basketball. Igor Kolachoff and Marcus Evans, those are two of the better players in the conference. Kolachoff was their leading scorer. He averaged 20 points tonight, 8 rebounds, was shooting 55% from 3. And Tech did a great job on Kolachoff and Marcus Evans, holding them to 7 of 25 from the field, 2 of 12 from 3. Kolachoff didn't hit a 3. So, yeah, that was a big, big victory heading into the weekend against North Texas. But another guy that we've been talking about the last few weeks is Daquan Bracey. He did a great job this night just leading the club like he has been doing.
Another Freshman of the Week award from Conference USA. It, as Puffy said at the end of Sports Company, 4 more years. There's a lot to look forward to for Daquan Bracey. And his play has just been outstanding. 34 minutes against Rice. He was 4 for 6 from the field. Didn't attempt any free throws or three-pointers. Finished with 8 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds. Against North Texas, he ended up with 32 minutes, more shots. He took 3 three-pointers, made them all. 2 for 3 from the free throw line, 7 assists, 17 points. I mean, he is exactly what it seems like Tech has been missing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's starting to come into his own with his shot as well. At Old Dominion, he hit a huge couple of threes. Then against North Texas, he hits 3 more, goes 3 of 3 behind the arc. And the thing that he's doing better than I would expect from a freshman is he's not turning the ball over. And when you don't turn the ball over in conference play, good things can happen. You mix that with Derek Jean, who's playing the shooting guard spot, but it's just like having another point guard on the floor. Tech's looking to continue this momentum, build on this 6-1 start within Conference USA, and hopefully carry it over into this coming up weekend when they play UAB and Middle Tennessee State.
I don't know if maybe it was just the lopsided scoreline is why I see so many more names coming off the bench for Tech against North Texas. I actually do think that is why.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
is.
Absolutely,
but,
I believe so.
You're getting Jalen Harris with 17 minutes, but of course you get the guys like Luke Walker. Oliver Powell got a lot. I mean, well, he got 5 minutes off the bench against North Texas. Against Rice, he didn't play at all. It gave him a little bit of a chance to let everybody have a bit more time on the court.
Oh, yeah, and I think you point out a good point about people's minutes. We talked about last week the heavy minutes that Bracey and Jean and McCree and Boykins all carried on that last road trip. So I think the back end of this homestand against North Texas is really important to keep some of those minutes down, keep those legs fresh. McCree only played 28 minutes against North Texas. Boykins played 28 minutes against North Texas as well. And I believe Boykins, that's probably the fewest amount of minutes as he's played because he's such a good defender. He's hard to take off the court. Boykins also recorded his first double-double of his career with 20 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, he got that in a little bit of a different way. He was only 5 for 14 from the field, 2 of 7 from three-point, but he took 9 free throws and made 8 of them. So that'll definitely contribute to it. But going back to Bracey, coming into the season whenever Alex Hamilton was leaving, I mean, last season was a bit weird because that was the first season that you didn't have those guys like Speedy and Raheem Appleby and Michael Kaiser. The loads solely fell on Alex Hamilton, it seemed, and Eric McCree, of course. But now that McCree was essentially on his own coming back as a leader of sorts, it was kind of worrying to see who would take that point guard. We didn't know if it would be Derek Jean or one of the younger guys coming in. And, of course, one of the younger guys, Bracey, took it and just he's running with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that many Tech fans wondered because, you know, as we both know, guard play in college basketball is what it boils down to come tourney time when you need those 3 wins in 3 days to make it to the big dance. But Bracey started a little slow. He was coming off the bench early on with Kedar Davis was filling that spot. When Kedar went down with that injury against Cal, Daquan was more than ready to step in, take the reins of this team, and he's done a great job. And I think we touched on it last week about how that had to be a difficult transition for Derek Jean because he thought he was going to be the guy that ran the show, kind of was that Alex Hamilton, Speedy Smith this year, but he's adjusted to being more of an off-the-ball guard. And as we see, Bracey and Jean are absolutely killing it right now.
Another thing to look for, especially during this road trip, is the minute distribution, but also the rotation with Omar Sherman and Janiah White. Against North Texas, it wasn't as apparent, but against Rice, Sherman, 2 blocks, White, 4 blocks. I mean, those two combining are just what Tech needs underneath the basket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you look at the other night, those two combined for 12 points, 11 rebounds, and a block. There's not much more you can ask from your center position, especially position in the past, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years where Tech's had trouble scoring the basketball from. But Omar Sherman and Janai White both do a good job. They can take a pass in the post. They can dish out of the post to an open cutter. But like you said, those are Omar Sherman might be the key to this whole team as far as how he can score down low.
It was a good get from Conkle, especially knowing who essentially how Sherman played, being there in Miami with him. It seemed like a perfect fit coming into the season, and it's definitely paying dividends. And Eric McCree, for the fourth time this season, is the Louisiana Sports Writers Association Player of the Week, co-player of the week this week. But for the fourth time, I mean, he's not getting all the headlines. Of course, Bracey keeps getting all the attention just because of where he's come from.
And I think how young he is, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I don't know where this team would be without Eric McCree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's doing his job leading this team. I think we all know that coming into this year, Tech didn't necessarily have that go-to score, but McCree has taken on that role. And some nights he's more of a volume shooter than he is an efficient shooter, but Tech needs those points, and McCree goes out every night. He plays hard, and I think that Coach Conkle has even spoke on it, how much of a leader he has become throughout the year, how he's become much more unselfish, and how much more he just wants to win. That's his goal, and I think that this group of eight or nine guys have really begun to gel, and they've really begun to see how much of a special team they really could have.
He is averaging over 30 minutes a game, 17.2 points per game, 8 rebounds a game, only just under an assist a game, but he is the guy. Next year will be really interesting to see how the team fills out without essentially a guy that everybody kind of looks to, like Hamilton last year and the year before that, the big three. But I mean, who knows with the recruiting class that Conkle's bringing in, anything could happen. I would have never imagined Daquan Bracey being as big, I say big, but he's shortest guy on the team, as good as he has been. But later in the show, we will have a little bit of a preview of the UAB game. UAB always a thorn in the side of Louisiana Tech. And, of course, Middle Tennessee, first in the conference, top 20 in RPI. That one's going to be huge.
Yep.
But that will be later on the show. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue on 97.7.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Hey, there he is. See him up on the ridge? That's that big buck I've been telling you about.
Wow, look at that rack. He's huge.
Shh, keep it down. Don't want to spook him.
Spook him? What are you talking about? He's got to be deaf. He didn't even hear us ride in here, did he?
Shh. Well, of course he didn't hear us, because we rode in on my bad boy buggy, duh. Nothing's going to hear a bad boy coming.
Gotta admit, that bad boy is quiet. Where'd you get it?
In Minden, over at Fairway Carts. And man, you wouldn't believe the deal they made me.
I might just have to check out a bad boy myself, because my old ride wouldn't have even made it this deep in the woods.
Yeah, well, that's that dependable bad boy power, buddy. You know, if your goal is to bag a buck, first you gotta get to him. Shh, I've got a shot. Got him.
Check out the full line of Whisper Quiet Bad Boy Buggies from Fairway Carts in Minden. Online at fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your North Louisiana Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni. Come by one of our locations to support the businesses who support your Louisiana Tech Bulldogs and Lady Texters. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue. I am Ben Carlisle, joined by Matt Valcho. We are pleased to be, or we are thankful to be, sponsored by Trenton Interiors and Company. And feel free to text us on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline at 1-888-993-7762. Matt, do you have some ads?
Yeah, we have some other sponsors that help us broadcast here on 97.7. Those sponsors are Dairy Queen, Brendan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, and Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings.
Thank you. Now we are joined on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline by Rivals Texas recruiting analyst Nick Kruger. Nick, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem. We're just looking to talk some tech recruiting with you. We'll jump right into things. Just wanted to talk about the two offensive linemen that Tech dipped into Brenham, Texas to pick up from Blinn Junior College in Hanner Shipley and Drew Kirkpatrick. They are two big 6'5", 300-pound linemen. How do you see these guys potentially helping out Tech on the offensive line?
Well, you know, when it comes to the time of year when you're looking to pick up a lot of these junior college signees, you know, you're really looking to, you know, first and foremost add a little bit of depth. And then, hope that you get something that turns into a starter down the road. And I think that's what both of these guys provide first and foremost. You know, they're not necessarily guys that we had listed coming out at the top of our junior college rankings this year. But, you know, definitely guys that I think can help shore up that group because we know, that's going to be a critical position for Louisiana Tech with the high-powered offense that they like to run out there.
All right, heading into the recruiting period, today I should say, Michael Sam signed from Trinity Valley Community College, big, tall cornerback. Essentially the same question about the offensive lineman. How do you see a guy like Sam fitting into the Tech defense?
Well, you know, with Louisiana Tech, too, I mean, you're looking at a group here. This recruiting class that they're trying to bring in here with some of the high school guys, defensive back heavy. You know, we're looking at the roster, you know, as we see right now, kind of a group that's maybe smaller in numbers as far as the cornerbacks specifically are concerned. So, you know, a guy that can come in there and compete for playing time right away. And, again, you know, like I said, when you're putting up a lot of points, as Louisiana Tech does, and, you know, on a game-to-game basis, you know, this is a guy that's going to come in and definitely get some reps out there. And, you know, bringing that length is definitely something you like to see at the cornerback position.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point as far as bringing that link to the position. That's something that a lot of teams are trying to model their defenses around these days, to play that bump and run coverage, to really take away those bigger receivers to where those jump balls, those back shoulder fades aren't as effective.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I just think with the emphasis that we're seeing at the position now, you know, even though we're seeing kids coming up through the high school ranks, there's still a lot to be said for the, you know, for the short guys that can cover those slot receivers that we're seeing, you know, offensively take more of a prominent role in recruiting. You know, those guys on the perimeter are just so important when you get down into the red zone area, and that's the type of player that you need to target, especially when you're looking a little thin on your numbers heading into next season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another guy that really intrigues me is a long-rangey corner, or I think he actually plays safety, from Gilmore County, Colin Hurt. I know he had seen some interest from Oklahoma State, amongst others, lately, but I think he's reaffirmed his commitment to Tech, and I think these Tech coaches are looking forward to having him on campus and kind of have that ball hawking safety in the secondary as well. And that just touches on another thing, how Tech's kind of short in numbers within their secondary as well.
Man, I saw Colin Hurt play, I think, the very first weekend of this football season. He was one of the guys that I tagged as somebody that even though we have guys ranked a certain way, there's always potential that you see in certain guys that outplay that ranking, and he's definitely one of those guys that I think fits that mold. I mean, when I saw him play in that first game, you know, he was always the first one coming up for the hit, always going up for the ball in the air. A tall guy, every bit as tall as his ranking would suggest, and just a hard-nosed player from that safety position, and I think he's really going to be a name that, you know, you see in a couple seasons down the road as a guy that you're really going to like what you got.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's probably a guy that the Tech coaches will try to get up to around that 200-pound range to kind of put some weight that can come down in the box and play the run a little better as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and then another guy that you're moving down into the front seven, you talk about Tristan Allen, another commitment from Tech. What is something that he really brings to the table? I know he's a little on the smaller side. I think Tech's looking at him to play that Viper position that they've had so much success with Houston Bates, Jalen Ferguson, and those type guys. So what is something that he really brings to the table that's really that the Tech coaches are really looking at?
Well, you're looking at a lot of pop from that outside linebacker position, a guy that really, you know, identifies the ball, shoots through the gap, and really lays the lumber, you know, on the running backs coming out of the backfield. I mean, you know, that's sort of the thing that stood out most to me, you know, when I look at his film. You know, playing out in that Atlanta, that northeast Texas range, it's not necessarily a spot that I get out to every so often, but there are a couple guys every season that you can pluck out of that range. You know, they really just surprise you, really are the bell cows of the high schools that they play at. And he's definitely that one defensively, brings a lot of energy and excitement to a defense.
Let's go to one of the more polarizing recruits that Tech has experienced, at least as according to the Bleed Tech Blue forums. Amik Robertson getting the offer from Houston, now LSU, decommitting from Tech, or reopening his commitment. What's your opinion on Amik?
Well, you know, that's really a situation. We see this across the board with a lot of recruits at a lot of different schools. As spots start filling up in other places, guys start going to places that you didn't quite think they might be. So all of a sudden, these offers come out of the woodwork that you didn't necessarily think you had before. I mean, truthfully, if you were to tell me that it was going to be a two-horse race between Tech and Houston, I would still get the edge to Tech, no question about it, because you look at it, Houston just picked up a commitment from in-state Devondre Bynum. You know, there's some spots there that are filling up defensively with them and some other guys that, you know, they're interested in, especially trying to rebound from that coaching change. But, you know, it's just so hard to, you know, ignore the pull of the big, you know, in-state pro. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to tell you what's what. You know, I'm not from Louisiana. I don't live there. But, you know, just perception-wise, when you think of LSU as, being the team to come and knock on the door, you know, when your other options aren't necessarily in that same ballpark, it's tough to ignore. So I'm not saying Louisiana Tech's out. I mean, there's something to be said for them being his first commitment, and hopefully they can stick around and come full circle with his recruitment. We'll just have to see what happens, because I know LSU came in with that offer right before he took his official to Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and continuing on that trail, we've kind of talked about it last couple of weeks on the show about Tech up and coming and being consistent in Division I football. But I mean, and this might be a question over your head, but what do you think the Tech needs to do in the future to keep those guys that are right in their backyard? Because you look at what's his name from TCU? He was a Monroe guy.
Kevontae Turpin.
Yeah, Turpin. You got these guys in Monroe and some in Ruston that they get, like you said, that knock on the door from the big schools. What do you think Tech needs to do in the future to try to keep some of these good prospects in state and close to home?
Well, you know, the short answer is just keep winning ball games, winning bowl games, and you know, I think we're on the pace to seeing more of that with Louisiana Tech. You know, truthfully, the way that I kind of envision the way college football in general heading is a more well balanced landscape across the board. You know, not quite to what we're seeing in terms of like college basketball, but you know, when we're talking about in Texas, where I'm at, the Houstons, the SMUs, coming up and starting to grab some more significant commitments, even San Antonio for that matter. I think the same could be said for Louisiana, you know, in terms of Monroe or Lafayette or Louisiana Tech starting to get some more of those players to stick around, because, you know, the exposure is just so much, you know, across the board for these teams. There's so many opportunities, you know, to get their program out in a way that wasn't before. Social media has really taken the forefront in terms of, you know, recruiting kids and what the way coaches can reach out to kids more, just practically every day now, even with restricted contact periods. You know, Twitter is always an option to get, you know, to get with these kids, and just creativity on the recruiting front is a huge deal. And then on the field, you just got to keep winning the games. And I think Louisiana Tech showed that, you know, they're taking steps in that right direction this season.
You're absolutely right, Nick, and we appreciate you joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we look forward to having you on sometime in the near future. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Nick Kruger, a Texas recruiting analyst from Rivals. Good insight into the Texas recruits coming into Louisiana Tech next year.
Oh, yeah, and I think he makes a good point with Tech looking to get a lot of these defensive backs. When you look at who they're targeting these long defensive backs that can really lay the wood, especially with a guy like Colin Hurt in the secondary. I think he's a guy that's really going to progress. And then even Trent, looking back into Louisiana with the two Neville kids and Ja'Corian Andrews, Jaden Cole, those are two guys that should come in and vie for some playing time early on, just like Michael Sam will do, or an Ameek Robertson when Ameek, if Ameek commits to Tech. And, you know, one thing I want to say about Ameek is I have a good feeling on this one. I think that Tech has a pretty good shot of landing him. For him, I think it's Tech or LSU, but I'm really liking Tech's chances right now.
It comes down to, I don't know if this is the right word to use, but like LSU is almost like romanticized. Like whenever a recruit thinks LSU, they think Death Valley, the purple and gold, running out on Saturday night, all the fireworks and the band play. I mean, I've been to LSU games. It's hard not to get fired up whenever you see that happening. And almost any high level recruit, I mean, any big program will get just that feeling of like, oh man, I could totally picture myself doing that. And then depending on how well they actually adapt to that high level or realize that, hey, I'm not the big man on campus anymore, they might not even play a snap for 2 years or three, and then transfer out and finally get somewhere that they can show what they could do. I mean, Tech's had their share of graduate transfers, but not even just graduate transfers. I mean, even sitting out a year, for some, it might just be better to do that, bite the bullet, and get out of there. But I think it's really going to depend what Ameek is looking for.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, like you said, what he's looking for, is he prioritizing early playing time, or is he prioritizing putting on that big school uniform in front of 90 to 100,000? I think Tech's done a great job in the last 2 years proving that they can put defensive backs in the NFL. Kentrell Bryce, Adarius Barnes, Xavier Woods will be in the NFL this year. So, like you said, it'll come down to what Ameek's looking for, but he's definitely a guy that Tech will be looking to land come signing day.
Especially this season. The offense is performing so well over the past couple seasons, but the defense has been lackluster, and I feel like this upcoming season is really make it or break it for this defense to really just prove that, okay, our offense is great, but don't overlook us, because as entertaining as it is, I don't think I can take another 55-52 game in Ruston against Western Kentucky.
A lot of stress. But we're going to take a quick timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
And this long line of cars is all because of you.
Ever put your watch on at 7 in the morning only to notice it reads 2:35? Or that sinking feeling when you click your vehicle remote and the doors don't open? You need to see Paul at National Jewelry. Watch batteries, vehicle remote batteries, install quickly. Paul can also fix that link in your watch band and all other jewelry repair, and they do it in-house. Guys, please don't forget your anniversary this month. National Jewelry has their special surprise. National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement and battery store. Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
For over 30 years, Northeast Louisiana has trusted Carrier and Pierce Service Company with their home comfort solutions. Right now, enjoy 0% APR for 36 months or pay no interest if paid in full within 12. Plus, receive up to $1,450 in cool cash rebates on qualifying systems. It all adds up to increased comfort and year-round energy savings, but hurry, the deals will disappear soon.
With only the best for you, Pierce Service Company.
Contact Larry Hobbs at Pierce Service Company in Monroe.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoked cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Welcome back into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. I'm Matt Valchin along with Ben Carlisle. We here at Bleed Tech Blue are brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. You can reach us on the hotline or text us on the text line at 888-993-7762. We are also brought to you by Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. We are 8 days away from National Signing Day. The National Championship feels like it was just yesterday, but the next big date for college football fans to look forward to is National Signing Day, where you'll get a peek at the future of your program.
Absolutely, and it's one of the most exciting days of the year for the fans. We can all the fans can dream as to which prospects will turn into the next Jeff Driscoll, the next Trent Taylor, the next Carlos Henderson. But if you look at where Tech is right now with, I believe it's 19 commitments in a class that shouldn't – I don't expect it to go much more over 22. I think 22 is about the max that they would take. But, yeah, those 19 commitments, the Tech coaches have to be certainly pleased with who they've had come in as far as all their commitments. They seem pretty firm. I know that there's three names out there, Dennis Collins, Trey Coleman, and as we mentioned in the last segment, Ameek Robertson, that are – still out there that Tech's hoping to have as signing day flips. But I think for Tech, landing one of those guys would be a big win for the program, would really start to take that shift within recruiting that Tech is going to be able to compete with the bigger schools in LSU or Houston or TCU or Tennessee, in Coleman's case, and really start to take that next step with their level of athletes that they're bringing in.
I mean, we talked about it last segment a little bit about – how Louisiana Tech can essentially come back and reclaim those guys that from the Monroe area, the Lafayette area, the Shreveport, just that keep getting poached, I guess you could say, by the bigger schools who will come in and invade North Louisiana, which, I mean, honestly, you win football games eventually. There's no doubt in my mind that North Louisiana will be Tech territory, and it throws me back to an ESPN 30 for 30 about the U. The yep. U is such a good documentary if you hadn't seen it. But back in the day, their idea to make Miami good was to essentially cut the state of Florida in half and turn the bottom half into the state of Miami. And they went hard at those recruits in that area, and they turned into the powerhouse that was the U. In the future, I could totally see that happening for Tech if you could keep the Alabamas and the LSUs out of your backyard. I mean, you've still got a lot of time to go before that, but it's definitely possible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the more recruiting ties that you make with Neville, the premier program in the state, or West Monroe, or even in Shreveport with Airline, Bird High School, there's plenty of athletes around this I-20 corridor that – the more Tech locks down, the more fan support that's going to end up coming, just with the local kids being around. And those five-star kids aren't going to choose Tech most of the time, but getting those two- and three-star recruits to stay at home, you look at a Jaden Cole, he had multiple P5 offers. Ja'Corian Andrews had multiple P5 offers. And I know you have some of those pulled up over there.
Yeah, I was going to pull up Jaden Cole. You said Power 5. Louisiana Tech got him over Arkansas, Kansas State, LSU, Mississippi State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Tennessee. I mean, even Washington. He was being looked at from all over.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, and it's crucial to come in, Tech has to be able to keep those guys away from a Kansas State, away from a Kansas, away from a Washington, away from a Notre Dame, because those type schools in the P5, they're a lower P5 school, but they're coming down to to the fertile recruiting grounds in Louisiana because they know the quality of high school football that is played around here, and they're looking to pick up kids that have been well coached and are ready to play at the next level that'll really help their program. But like you mentioned earlier, it's 2 to 3 years before they're on the field at a Notre Dame or especially a Washington now after they've made the college football playoff. So it's absolutely essential for Tech to start locking down the recruiting areas of Monroe, Shreveport, even as far down to Alexandria. If Tech can really get those quality 2-3-star athletes that are really good football players, the program will continue to head in the right direction.
Even the occasional 4-star if you look at Baker. I mean, it is different in college compared to the pros, and obviously, but I mean, you look at the pros whenever you got free agency compared to recruiting, the big guys are going to get the big money. You know what you're going to get whenever a guy signs a big contract. Well, most of the time, unless they flop Brock Osweiler or whatever. But still, I mean, in college recruiting, you're going to get those guys that will sneak under the radar and in every sport. I mean, you look at basketball, we're gushing over Daquan Bracey earlier in the show. I mean, you got a guy like Trent Taylor, whose only D1 offer
was Tech.
And look where he is being projected to go in the NFL draft. I mean, in recruiting for a school like Tech's size, it is so important to find those diamonds in the rough, because those are the guys that'll keep your program afloat for years and years. So it's going to be interesting to see who has that guy in this class.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that you make a great point with finding those diamonds in the rough. I think Skip Holtz and his staff have proven that once those guys get on campus, they buy into Kurt Hester's weight training program. They buy into what the coaches are preaching. You can become a very, very good college football player. Carlos Henderson was a kid that when he came in, he was probably 170 pounds soaking wet. He couldn't run the simple dig route. But Carlos progressed through his four years at Tech. 1 year he redshirted, and now he's expected to be a second or third round pick. So on top of Tech proving that they can really flat out coach recruits and get them to the NFL, and on top of keeping those kids locally in Ruston, this is what will bring Tech to the next level, I think, at least.
I mean, it's a big combination of finding those guys and then – the facilities like the Davison Athletic Complex,
the new press box,
and I mean, of course, you can't forget the coaching staff.
Yeah,
Kurt Hester's a massive draw for a lot of people.
Oh yeah, and you talk about those shiny new things. That's what kids these days like. They like the 5, 6, 7 different helmet and uniform combinations. As silly as some of that may sound, that's what those kids love. You look at how Oregon progressed.
Oh, yeah.
To the top of college football so quickly. Well, they had 45 different.
That's a major
uniform.
Point.
Yeah, that's what they drive home in recruiting. And so if you have something that you can sell that these kids love, they'll end up coming more and more often.
Kids love free stuff. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. A friend of mine at TCU, I was over there whenever they were preparing while Tech was playing in the Armed Forces Bowl, and they were preparing to head to the Music City Bowl. He came back to his apartment with his bag full of stuff. They had like 2 sweatsuits just for travel and for just being in the city, 2 new pairs of shoes. And I mean, I saw his gear from last year at the Alamo Bowl. I mean, having that gear is a huge draw for recruits, and going with Adidas and having that all encompassing umbrella that Tech had been lacking for years is put us on another level, as well as the facilities, and Tech is on the up and up, and I mean, we've beat that point just to death, but it can't be stated enough that the future is extremely bright for Louisiana Tech if you keep all these pieces that have gotten you to where you are in place. And once you get to that level, you can continually have sustained success. And I bring up Boise State.
Yep.
I mean, they came out of nowhere. It took a few years for them to just power over everybody in the Mountain West, and next thing you know, they're beating Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep. Now, shifting gears a little bit, we're going to talk about the visiting weekend this past weekend. It wasn't the busiest recruiting weekend for Tech, but Tech did end up landing, like we talked about earlier, Michael Sam, cornerback, 6'1", 195, Trinity Valley Community College, originally from New Iberia, Louisiana. This was a commitment, and he signed today, actually. I think he was a pretty nice surprise for the Tech staff. Not sure how much they thought they really had a shot at him, but he was definitely a big pickup. Trey Coleman, the Tennessee commit from West Monroe, was also on campus, as well as George Scott, receiver from Natchez, Mississippi. He's already committed, so I believe he's pretty firm with his commitment. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Trey Coleman. Trey Coleman's a kid from West Monroe, a local kid, committed to Tennessee. I just wonder how much he really wants to go to Tennessee. You look at Tennessee's recruiting class right now, and they have 27 commitments, three running backs. I just don't know if that running backs class is the most enticing one that you would want to go to, especially in the SEC East, in a team that's probably not going to contend for a national championship.
No, that's been a continued point of contention for a lot of Tennessee fans. I see him every Saturday on Twitter not enjoying the coach and just how it always seems so positive, and they always have these great recruiting classes, and they just can't do anything with them. And I think that's one big draw that we've mentioned before is the ability that Tech has to offer a bit more playing time right out the gate. Because, I mean, you do have Jared Kraft and Dee Fleming coming up as a walk-on and Boston Scott.
Well, and I think that, you know, you look at a Trey Coleman, if he ends up signing with Tech, he could be the next guy behind Jared Kraft, behind Boston Scott. Jacquees Dancy is no sure thing at this point, coming off his hard battle with cancer, but I would expect him to make it back at full strength and contribute to Tech. He was so highly talented coming out of Arkansas. He was, many Tech fans wanted him, expected him, wished for him to be that next Kenneth Dixon. But after that, you have Israel Tucker coming off his knee injury, Dee Fleming coming in as a walk-on. I think Trey Coleman would fit in great with Tech. And just another name that, how I mentioned, Tennessee has three running backs committed at this point. One of them is Ty Chandler, a four-star running back out of Nashville, Tennessee, homegrown local product that is actually the number six running back in the country coming out of high school. So that might not necessarily lead to a ton of playing time for Trey Coleman early in his career, even later in his career. And I certainly wouldn't want to see him ending up being a guy that wastes a couple of years and having to end up transferring and sit out. I think that he'd be a very good fit for Tech, and Tech might be a good fit for him as well.
I mean, you're looking at the roster. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jared Kraft, senior. You've got Dee Fleming. He'll be a sophomore.
Yeah.
Travis Gray, sophomore. These walk-on guys. And, of course, Boston Scott, he'll be a redshirt senior next year.
Yeah. You look at the two most experienced, he'll both be seniors.
Even Dancy will be a – I mean
– He'll probably get a medical.
But still, I mean, it's a couple years – If Coleman does end up at Tech, I mean, you're looking at least 2 years of possibly being the guy in the future.
And let's shift gears real quick before we take a timeout and talk a little bit of Michael Sam. Michael Sam, I know we've touched on him earlier. Big corner. I see him starting from day one. I really do. I know he was a soft verbal to ULL, but I think that you see with him having an offer from Arizona, talking with Oregon as well. He might have even had an offer. I think that goes to show you what kind of talent this kid has, and I know the Tech coaches are really excited about him.
Oh, yeah, no, because you look at who they have on the roster. Cyril Nolan Lewis was a redshirt senior. Yep. He's gone. I mean,
Prince Sam will be gone.
Ephraim Kitchen will be a redshirt sophomore, so he'll probably be starting on one side. Prince Sam's gone. Roland Dunn could get a shot out of Evangel.
He's a little smaller guy.
A little bit smaller, yep. But that's why you would think that Sam would have the advantage because, I mean, Ephraim Kitchen's 5'10".
Yeah.
Roland Dunn's 5'10", so you need that tall guy on the field in one of those two corner spots.
Well, and I think you point out, Michael Sam being a junior college kid, Jordan Baldwin, the kid that committed last week on his visit originally from A-Meet, Louisiana. I think you see Tech getting two JUCO corners because of the lack of experience with Ephraim Kitchen struggling with injuries throughout his first 2 years. Aaron Robertson being a guy that redshirted this year after playing minimally his first year. You got Legarius Sneed. He played
a little bit. He could play anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere in that secondary.
Yeah, I think he might end up being a safety, but he showed flashes at corner. So like you said, Tech's real young at corner. They need some experience. So I think these two JUCO corners will be essential.
Especially at safety, because you're losing Lloyd Grogan and Xavier Woods, yep. Both of them senior or redshirt.
And
senior.
You might see Cedric Cooper and Demarion King move down to that box, that weak side linebacker spot as well, as they struggle in coverage sometimes. But that's what we have on recruiting for the weekend of January 20th. We're going to take a quick time out. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Louisiana Tech Sports, a driving force for this community that has allowed Walpole Tire and Service to celebrate 60 years of service. Walpole Tire and Service thanks you for trusting us with all your automotive needs. Today, Goodyear and Walpole Tire Service will save you up to $160 off of qualifying 4 Goodyear tires or receive a $70 reward card with a purchase of 4 qualifying Michelin tires. See redemption form at participating dealer for complete details. Offer expires 12/12/2016. Void where prohibited by law. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston, West Monroe. Go Bulldogs!
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge. We've got 20% off remaining 2016 Dodge Chargers. Get 30% off select 2016 Ram 1500 Crew Cabs. Remaining 2016 Dodge Journeys are only $18.9, and 16 Dodge Darts are only $16.9. We've got great deals on all remaining 16 models. But hurry, they won't last long. Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge, I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
Welcome back into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company. Visit them in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text us on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline and text line 888-993-7762. Other sponsors of Bleed Tech Blue Radio include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Going to shift gears a little bit, just finished talking some recruiting. Going to head back to the basketball court where this past week, like we touched on in the first segment, Louisiana Tech, two big wins at home heading into a back-to-back road game against two really big opponents. UAB, who is currently sitting third in the conference at 5-2 in conference, 12-8 overall. And, of course, Middle Tennessee, the team to beat. They are, I think the last projection that I saw had them as an at-large in the tournament at a 12 or a 13 seed. I mean, they're getting a lot of looks from the national media. 17-13 overall record, undefeated in conference at 7-0. This week is huge for the Duncan Dogs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that these two games this week, going on the road at UAB, on the road at Middle Tennessee, will give Tech Coach Conkle a great understanding of where his team stands. You look at Tech right now, 6-1, 7 games into the Conference USA slate. So after these two weekends, Tech will be halfway home through their conference slate. I think it's very important to at least get a split. You look at a UAB team that has an injury to Nick Norton. Nick Norton's a kid that he was just that steady point guard for UAB. He didn't turn the ball over. His dad is a coach, so he's a kid that really knows how to play the game. And then you look at their other two guard, Hakeem Baxter. He's very essential to them as well. I think he's dealing with an injury in his day-to-day. So Tech has a golden opportunity to go on the road Thursday night, get this road trip off to a good start, and really head to Middle Tennessee to see who the best team in this conference is.
Birmingham, the season leader for UAB. In points is William Lee, a junior from Plantersville, Alabama, 6'9" forward. He's averaging 12.7 points per game, 47%, I should say, from the field, 84% from the line. He is also their leading rebounder, 6.6 rebounds a game, 5.8 defensive rebounds a game. They have always been a thorn in Tech's side, whether it's in the regular season or in the conference tournament. It always seems that, especially being at home, UAB just always has that advantage.
Yeah, well, and like you said, they always have that advantage of being at home, and it doesn't help that the Conference USA tournament is held in Birmingham each year. But a guy that you just touched on in William Lee, he's an outstanding athlete. He's a post player. He's even shooting three pretty well this year. You look at when he came out of high school back in 2014, he was named the Gatorade Player of the Year in Alabama. Probably one of the most highest-rated recruits that UAB has ever seen. And he's been a guy that's always been consistent, but he's never taken that next step. As a freshman, he averaged 11.7 rebounds. As a sophomore, he improved on that a little bit. But as this year has progressed, especially with Nick Norton going down, he's beginning to take that next step. So I think it'll be essential for Tech to keep William Lee and Chris Coakley off the backboards and really really shut down the glass in order to have a chance in this ball game.
UAB's record at 12-8, 5-2 in conference, and we said that momentum is a pretty big thing. But the thing is, with UAB, you also have to look at is the inconsistency. I mean, Tech beat Rice by 10. UAB had to take them to overtime. Of course, it was at Rice, so that's always a little bit in the advantage of the home team. But most shockingly, you have to wonder what either UAB is going to come out the gate and just slug Tech right in the mouth, or they might be a little deflated after a surprise loss to near bottom of the table, FIU, 94-85, almost a 10-point loss at FIU on last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, and if you look closer at that box score, just looking into it, that was a game that UAB didn't necessarily defend very well. I believe FIU shot 65% from the field, so Tech definitely has to take advantage on the offensive end. If you look at a lot of UAB's box scores, they give up a lot of points, so that just shows me that they don't defend very well. They're looking to play in a high-pace running type of game. So once again, we bring him up again. Daquan Bracey could really excel in the open floor, getting to the rim, dishing it off to Omar Sherman, Eric McCree, Jacoby Boykins. This one should be a fun one. Two of the best teams in the conference, and they've been the best two teams in the conference for the past 3 or 4 years, up until last year when Middle Tennessee knocked off UAB in the conference championship. So this one will be a fun one.
Another close result that 2 days before at FAU, right there one spot ahead of FIU in the standings, UAB only pulled out a 2-point win, 80-78. Of course, the home and away, like home court advantage, is always a thing, and Tech fans can attest to that with the massive home winning streak that ended last year.
Well, and you can attest to it. Florida Atlantic was a bad ball club last year, and I believe Tech blew a huge lead, 20-25-point lead on the road at Florida Atlantic, and probably was one of, if not the worst loss of the season last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the home court advantage definitely plays a big role, but when you look at the upper tier of this conference, if you want to be the team that knocks off Middle Tennessee, you're going to have to win road games. It's that simple.
We'll get Dave West in here at 7 o'clock to talk more about Tech UAB on Thursday night, as well as the overall state of the league, the UAB Middle Tennessee road trip as a whole, and just Conference USA basketball in general. And you look at sports, at college sports in Conference USA, I mean, football doesn't get much respect, but baseball and basketball really get a look whenever you're looking at guys like – teams like Middle Tennessee in basketball, and then Southern Miss in baseball, and, of course, Tech.
Yeah, well, and a Middle Tennessee basketball team last year, they went into the tournament and knocked off the perennial NCAA tournament giant in Tom Izzo and Michigan State in a 15-2 matchup. And that the Middle Tennessee State team is – very, very consistent. They have some good scorers in Ja'Cory Williams, Giddy Potts, and Reggie Upshaw, and they just do pretty much everything really, really good. They don't turn the ball over. They're very good at passing. Giddy Potts is lethal from three. He's not the guy that you want to leave open. I expect Coach Conkle to put Jacoby Boykins on him. But, yeah, Middle Tennessee, when it comes to basketball, I think they've taken over the reins as far as the conference goes. But Tech, UAB, Marshall, Old Dominion, UTEP, not far behind.
No. And you're looking at Middle Tennessee's schedule. We'll get a little bit more into it next segment. But, I mean, there are three losses. A surprise loss, I guess you could say, it against Georgia State at home. Nearly a 10-point loss, 64-56. Another loss at VCU, who is become a essentially like one of those mid-major powers in
that are
going to
be
basketball.
There every year.
Although it was 80-77, it was really close. And then
was that one on the road?
That one was at VCU. Yeah,
that's and a tough place to play.
Beginning of the season, lost to Tennessee State, 74-63. I mean, I would say another surprise there, but. You've got wins on your resume against Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. I mean, at home against Vanderbilt.
That was a blowout victory.
It was 71-48 at home for Middle Tennessee.
That was impressive.
That's huge. And that coming about a week after going to Ole Miss and winning 77-62. Ole Miss, not usually that power that you think of in SEC basketball, but, I mean, they know how to hold their own. Tech fans will remember Ole Miss from last season.
Yeah. An Ole Miss team that almost ran Tech out of the gym.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But Middle Tennessee just coming out of nowhere, 17-3 record. It'll be really interesting to see how they go the rest of the season because, I mean, you do still have a game against Old Dominion, Tech, UTSA, UTEP. Marshall could always be an interesting one. Later on in the season on Sunday, February 26th, they go to UAB for a game on CBS Sports Network. That'll probably be a really interesting one to see.
And one more thing before we get to Dave West, I want to point out with Tech going on the road to Middle Tennessee State, we'll talk more with Dave about this, but I think that Tech matches up really well with Middle Tennessee State in the fact that Middle Tennessee is a team that likes to slow it down, grind it out. And if you look at Tech's team this year, they can really get in a stance and defend you on that end of the court. And I think that'll play a big role in this game. I could be wrong, but I like Tech's chances both games on the road this week.
It'll be really interesting to see how things go. We will take a quick timeout and be back with more Louisiana Tech basketball talk. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Fairway Carts in Minden, true Blue Tech supporters, and Bulldog Country's first choice for carts or just about anything. From a customized easy-go for a day on the golf course to a street-legal multi-passenger cart for the family. Utility carts for any job around the home or farm that needs them to dependable Bad Boy buggies for the hunt. Fairway Carts, your full-line easy-go Bad Boy Cushman sales, parts, and service dealer in Minden. Visit us at fairwaycarts.net.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubak Ruston Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Trenton Interiors. Go see them in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston, or you can text us, call us on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline and text line at 888-993-7762. Speaking of the hotline and text line, we have Dave West on the hotline here to talk about Louisiana Tech basketball, with Louisiana Tech heading to UAB on Thursday night and Middle Tennessee on Saturday. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
I appreciate you guys having me on again. It's been a couple weeks, and been a couple good weeks for you guys, going on a nice win streak here, winning 7 of the last 8. And this game on Thursday, you know, the past 3 seasons and leading into the 4th, this is a really important game. When UAB and La Tech meet, the prior 5 times they've played, one of these teams is in first place trying to, you know, keep their spot at top.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and you bring up a good point talking about how Tech and UAB have kind of been the front runners of the conference the past few years. Coming into this matchup, a Tech team that's obviously younger this year, only one senior in Eric McCree seeing significant playing time. You look at a UAB squad with Nick Norton going down in the first game of the season with a major injury. Hakeem Baxter with, I believe it's a leg injury right now, day-to-day. What are some keys that you see in this Thursday night's game?
Well, the last thing you said is probably the biggest key. Hakeem Baxter is up there with Jacoby Boykin, Dominic Artis, Giddy Pott. Those guys, those are some of the best on-ball defenders in the conference. And when the Philly native senior, Hakeem Baxter, is not on the court, things like FIU happen when UAB lets them score 90 points. And one of their players nearly scored 40. It's like the dam is breaking loose when he's not on the court. So I'm terrified of Day-Day Bracey coming into Birmingham if Hakeem is not ready. I think he could really, really do some damage, and the spacing will be there if he's not on the court, because behind him, you've got a true freshman, and you've got a couple shooting guards that are just not what Hakeem Baxter brings to the court every night.
You talk about Daquan Bracey, and you talk about Hakeem Baxter, and what a great matchup that could be. Do you think that the rest of Conference USA is beginning to notice what the Baltimore, Maryland native Daquan Bracey has been doing within this conference night in, night out? Because over here in Ruston, we get to see him on a nightly basis, Thursday, Saturday nights, and some of us, or me and Matt, myself, we're pretty amazed at what he's beginning to do as a freshman. How has that been perceived with the UAB team as well as across the conference?
It's not just the conference. He's officially gone national. When you get back-to-back Freshman of the Week awards, people start noticing you, especially because he ranks in so many categories in terms of assists to turnovers. And we had Mark Adams. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an ESPN and American Sports Network on-air analyst. That's the first thing he mentioned when we brought up Tech last night. He said Daquan Bracey will be special. That's a guy who's been in the industry for over almost 40 years. And he didn't bring up Eric McCree. He didn't bring up Boykins or Derek Jean. He brought up Daquan Bracey. And it really speaks to Eric Conkle's ability to recruit, that he basically stole them from Georgetown. He promised them immediate playing time, and it's really paid off for La Tech. And he is one of the main reasons why they're on the run they are right now.
Oh, yeah, and you think about Tech with Speedy Smith, Alex Hamilton last year, and now Daquan Bracey. Tech fans have really been spoiled with the quality of point guards that they've been gifted with the past few years.
It's point guard you. I think I saw the Duncan Dogs the Twitter tweet that sometime in the past couple weeks.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Next guy up. I mean, and it's really incredible because Conkle and Mike White, if I'm not mistaken, didn't really have any connection when they overlap. So it's just you just had two good coaches put their guys in really good positions to be fantastic point guards. And it's just scary. I've been watching and following Conference USA for over a decade. I just don't recall a freshman coming in like this in putting up the assist numbers with so few turnovers. If you go look at his assist to turnover ratio in Conference USA, granted Elmore at Marshall has, you know, like 10 more assists, but Bracey's got like 35 turnovers to over 100, like he's 110 assists. It's incredible. It really is.
He was ranked in the nation earlier in the season, but shifting gears a little bit more to the Saturday matchup, I mean, what do you think has been the perception across the conference to the surprise that is Middle Tennessee?
Pray. I would definitely, if you didn't go to church this past Sunday, go on this Sunday again, because if you got to play them again in the conference tournament. They're incredible. They're better than UAB, in my opinion, better than UAB was at their best last year in conference play. They've got a three-headed monster, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, that is as good as any of the power conferences out there. They're experienced, they're savvy, and what's really not fair is as good as they are on offense, is the options they have, they're that good on defense too. You should only be good at one or the other in the mid-majors, in my opinion. It's not fair when you're so good at both. So, I mean, I wish you guys best luck. I went to UAB's game in Murfreesboro. The crowd isn't much of a factor, and it really doesn't matter. Their defensive schemes and their options, those three guys, they average double figures every night, and they're going to do it for the rest of the conference play.
You're looking at the schedule and especially postseason play. RPI is a huge, huge thing for those looking to get that at-large bid into the big dance. If you are the selection committee, what are your thoughts on Middle Tennessee heading into the postseason?
They're there for the at-large. They have the resume. They have Ole Miss on the road where they won and won big for most part of that game, and they have the Vandy win. And what's really given them the really good RPI is they've beaten a lot of just solid mid-majors. They beat UNC Wilmington in Nashville, neutral court, and that's a top 60 program that most people don't even know about. But that win right there and beating a couple teams like Toledo and some others, it's given them a resume that I think they could lose to Tech or UAB at some point, you know, in the next, you know, month and a half, and still get in. If in fact they, you know, get at least to the championship game of the Conference USA tournament. So at this point, as long as they don't lose to anyone but Tech and UAB, they'll be in great shape.
Looking at the conference standings right now, we've been talking about Middle Tennessee. They're obviously head and shoulders above most teams right now, until proven otherwise. But looking at Tech, Marshall, UAB, even a surprise with UTSA, an Old Dominion team that's always going to be solid on the defensive end and pretty efficient offensively, and even a UTEP team that's been playing well of lately. How do you feel the overall health of the league is right now? It's looking like it's getting more and more depth, and that's not even mentioning a Western Kentucky squad that's now coached by Rick Stansberry, who's been recruiting really, really well.
The way I look at it right now is you've got 12 teams that are moving forward, and you've got two that are moving swiftly downward, and that's North Texas and FIU. Neither of those coaches are going to be back next year. And I mean, I don't wish anyone losing their jobs, but they've both done a really poor job of managing rosters and bringing in new guys. So overall, if we can say 12 teams are getting better and have gotten better in the past four seasons, then I'd say it's improving. There was a point in time of the 32 conferences in the NCAA Division I. Conference USA in December was ranked number 11. Now we're all the way back to number 20. And that's just a product of playing each other and playing some of these teams on the bottom who just did not do what they needed to do in the non-conference. But moving forward, I like the coaches we have in place, especially the blue bloods of the conference, if you could even say that. I think we're moving in the right direction as a conference in whole.
If you're looking at the postseason tournament, and including the NCAA tournament, but who do you think would be a dark horse to just kind of come out of nowhere? Who would be that Cinderella that could make it deep into the conference tournament?
It's going to be a team that can shoot, I think. I would have said Old Dominion if they were fully healthy, because that's how they got to the championship last year. They got there with this defense, but they're not healthy this year. So this year I think it's going to be a team that can shoot, and that's Rice, and that's Marshall, and that's Charlotte. One of those three is going to get to at least the semis, in my opinion, which that's not a really bold take right there, but I think there's a good chance one of those could actually get to the championship. They'd have to upset, you know, Middle or La Tech or UAB along the way to get there, but it's possible. I mean, those three teams have duos of guards that will just shoot. They have the green light at all times. So that's what this year, I think that's what you're going to see, is an offensive-minded team, you know, that could potentially sneak its way into the final, rather than last year when Middle and Old Dominion just, you know, beat everybody to death and bludgeoned people and kept it down to like 50 and 60-point games.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And shifting gears back to Thursday night real quick before we wrap it up, with that UAB team, you know, you talked about the injury to Baxter, the injury to Norton. Do you think that UAB is going to try to drill the ball down in the post to William Lee and Chris Coakley? Those are two of my favorite guys to watch within this conference. They both just have exceptional talent, and they're fun to watch when they're really on their top of their game.
Even considering Middle Tennessee, I think this game right here is going to be the best interior matchup game of the entire year. You've got Eric McCree and Omar Sherman and even Janiah White, even though he's kind of thin, but his shot block is fantastic. And then you got Lee, Coakley, and Tosin Mahinty. I mean, that's six guys right there that
could
play
be
for power teams. Yeah.
They probably are six of the top eight big men in the league.
Easily. I think that's where the game is going to be won at the end of the day. And UAB's got a little bit more, experience, I guess you could say, even though Omar, you know, he played with Miami. Who knows what's going to happen? I think it's going to be one down there. That's assuming that Baxter plays. If Baxter's not going to play, Lord, I mean, Boykins may go off. So, I mean, I, even though he may not guard Boykins, but we're going to get in positions where Bracey can find some space and get some of the three-point shooters active.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we thank you for joining us. We're looking forward to Thursday night, and we look forward to having you on again next week. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was Dave West talking Tech UAB, as well as a little bit of Middle Tennessee in the overall Conference USA basketball picture. It's going to be a fun rest of the season. This week is going to be huge for Louisiana Tech. It'll be extremely exciting to see how all these matchups play out. Next up on Bleed Tech Blue in the next segment, we will touch a little bit more on football, spring practice coming up, and also a little bit of baseball with Jamar Smith. You don't want to miss that. It is going to be coming up in the next segment for us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on 97.7.
Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge. We've got 20% off remaining 2016 Dodge Chargers. Get 30% off select 2016 Ram 1500 crew cabs. Remaining 2016 Dodge Journeys are only $18.99, and 16 Dodge Darts are only $16.99. We've got great deals on all remaining 16 models. But hurry, they won't last long. Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge, I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Got an anniversary coming up? How about a special birthday? Getting ready to propose, or have you gotten yourself in one of those spots that only a diamond could say, I'm sorry for what happened? Well, for any special occasion that only diamonds will work for, visit National Jewelry for any budget for any occasion. National Jewelry features the top names in jewelry. Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. When you need some sparkle and shine and smile, see National Jewelry, Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Wake up to local sports talk. Jeff Guerrero, the injury attorney, presents The Morning Drive, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays. Also brought to you by Toyota of Ruston and Car King in Monroe on ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to Lead Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. We are brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company. Go visit them in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. Other sponsors include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on the Fairway Cartsman and Hotline or text us on the text line at 888-993-7762. Last segment, we talked with Dave West about Louisiana Tech basketball and the massive matchups that they've got this upcoming week with UAB and Middle Tennessee. But we're going to shift gears here for this last segment, talk a little bit more about football and a little bit more about baseball. And you might be wondering, how do those go hand in hand? Well, if you haven't heard, presumed starter for next year for Louisiana Tech football, Jamar Smith, is out at practice with the Diamond Dogs baseball team.
Oh, yeah. Jamar's looking to play baseball this year. He participated, like we said earlier, in preseason baseball practice last year. But Coach Goff and Coach Holtz agreed to let him redshirt in baseball, maintain that extra year of eligibility, and compete for the starting quarterback job last spring with Ryan Higgins and Price Wilson. And I think we all saw in the season opener last year at Arkansas, Jamar very obviously has the talent to play quarterback at a high level. But I think one of the big reasons Jamar chose Tech back when he was coming out of high school was the opportunity to play both. And he's proven how good of an athlete he was. I think his athletic ability shows when it comes to the baseball diamond, as he was a 24th round pick by the San Diego Padres out of high school as a catcher. Some said that his fastball off the mound would top out around 90 miles an hour. So he clearly has the talent. He's looking to be an outfielder on the baseball team. But I fully expect he'll be at spring practice with the majority of his time spent outside of baseball, focused on football and becoming the next great quarterback at Tech.
Yeah, you can't pass up the opportunity that Jamar has going in that first game against Arkansas, performing like he did, and coming into a situation where you have the starting job essentially right there, just ready for you to take over, especially knowing how well he can perform in a big stage against a massive opponent like Arkansas. It wouldn't make any sense if he put all of his eggs into the baseball basket. But I mean, of course you got to bring up Jameis Winston, who's probably the most recent example of a starting quarterback who stars for the football team, but also can perform well on the baseball field. Some of his stats, I mean, they're just ridiculous. Yeah. Jameis was a freak athlete. His last season playing baseball, he played in 2013 and 2014. In 2014, though, 33 innings pitched. He had one win, seven saves, and a 1.08 ERA. Unbelievable. A batting average the previous year in 2013 was a .235, a 3-even ERA with 27 innings pitched. I mean, he was a freak athlete.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned Jameis Winston. Another one that's recently is having a lot of success in the NFL is Russell Wilson. He began his football and baseball career at NC State, and I believe as his career moved forward into his senior year, the NC State head coach at the time, I believe it was Tom O'Brien, wasn't a big fan of him playing both sports, and so he moved on to Wisconsin while also playing minor league baseball with the Colorado Rockies, and obviously that's become too much for him to handle as being a professional quarterback.
But in the offseason, he's had the opportunities to go to spring training a couple times with the Rangers most recently. I mean, I feel like baseball and football are the two sports that kind of most likely go together, because you look back to Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, those guys going into the NFL and also playing in the MLB. I mean, it's definitely the sport to do it, mainly, and I mean,
they have two different seasons.
Yeah, two different seasons, and nothing against baseball. It's it compared to being a football and a basketball player, the opportunity for getting injured is definitely less whenever you're playing baseball compared to a more contact sport like basketball.
Yeah, and I think Jamar will do a great job at balancing the two. I think we saw in that opening start against Arkansas how composed he is, how mature he is for a young freshman or sophomore academically. So, yeah, that'll be something to definitely watch throughout the spring to see if he sees a lot of time on the baseball diamond or not. But, yeah, like we said, he'll definitely be at spring practice, focused, ready to go, ready to compete for that starting job. Now, let's shift this from a different angle. How does him playing baseball maybe enhance an opportunity for one of the younger quarterbacks in Price Wilson or Jack Abraham or even a John Randall Belton to potentially step up in the spring and maybe get a few more reps that Coach Holtz can see that he otherwise wouldn't have with Jamar maybe having a sore arm from baseball? I mean, you never know what could happen.
I mean, it will be interesting to see. I do think that some of these younger guys may get a bit more of a look just because, I mean, Jamar might be the presumed starter, so you do have to see what else you have, because more than Jack Abraham, definitely more than Price Wilson, or, I mean, any other quarterback on the roster, they've had the chance to get way more looks at Jamar in a high-pressure situation. Yeah. So heading into the spring game, some of those guys will get more looks just solely based on the fact that they haven't had much of a chance, especially Jack Abraham redshirting. They need an opportunity to see how he could do. But, I mean, I don't think it should affect him.
I don't either. I think Jamar's the guy.
I think he knows that he has it, and I don't think it will make him hurt his arm throwing or something like that.
And the idea of a 3-year starting quarterback is absolutely awesome, considering Tech has gone through Cody Sokol, Jeff Driscoll, and Ryan Higgins. All three were great, but you have a 3-year starter at quarterback, provide some continuity. I think even last year with Jamar getting that experience coming into this year with a 7-game home slate, easier schedule, Tech is set up to do some really big things, and I'm thinking 9, 10, 11 wins.
Tech fans should be extremely excited, and I know students are excited because
absolutely
most of the time at the beginning of the season, there was so many chants for
that,
Jamar,
that one upset.
Jamar,
yep.
Jamar. I mean, nobody gave Ryan Higgins a chance. I mean, look at what he did now. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Yep. But, I mean, Jamar has the identity now heading into the season that – like, Tech fans should know what to expect. I mean, and that's something that not a lot of programs will get whenever you're losing a quarterback their senior year. You don't really know what's about to come in. You don't know what the identity is going to be. But having that game, having all that extra preparation time too, especially going into that first game of the season, you had all that extra practice leading into that first game. They knew Jamar was going to be starting that game, so they had more practice, more reps, more just togetherness with him at that position.
Yep, and that'll definitely be one of the storylines to watch come spring practice. I believe it'll start sometime in March, so that'll be something to watch along with who Tech fills in for Xavier Woods and at the two cornerback spots. And
spring will be
it'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be something that we'll talk about in the coming weeks. And I mean, and I don't want to turn it like this, but also having a guy like Jamar on the baseball team, as if Tech baseball needs it coming off the season that they did, I mean, it brings a little bit more interest. I mean,
especially
with Jameis at Florida State. I mean, I'm not saying that he was like the sole draw, but I know a lot of people would have come to those games just solely to see their starting quarterback on the football team play another sport. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a sideshow, but it's something that not many people get the chance to see. And I mean, it could put a few more butts in the seats. I mean, it's entirely possible. I'm not saying they need it, but it's definitely a talking point and something to look forward to.
Absolutely. So next week on next week's show, we'll be really focused on signing day. Next Tuesday night will be one day away from all the signees sending their faxes over. Big week in Tech basketball. We'll have Dave West on again talking about the Tech UAB matchup. There's also previewing the rest of the season as Conference USA Basketball will have reached its halfway point. But thanks for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. For Matt Valchio, I'm Ben Carlisle.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.